Digital stance, getting firewalled, ho, cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. Caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIP-6. This is dedicated...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio. I am your host, Stank Dog, and I am your next American Idol. That's right. Today is March 22nd, 2005. This is episode 88, and joining me again this week to co-host the show and for
Black
me
to
officially thank him on the air would be none other than Doug the Engineer, or just Doug, as we like to call him on this show. True. And joking aside, you did a good job then. I always said that, and you did a good job with Ben Rev, even though you didn't tell anybody about the closing music, and everybody's emailing wanting to know who closed episodes. Was it 83 and 84, right?
I think so, yeah. Well, the first one was drum and bass, and the second one was one of Lucky's friends that did some rap song. I don't know who did that.
Well, we'll have to see if we can throw that up on the web somewhere and give people a link to it, because a couple people did ask about it. Now, our opening tonight is a track that was mixed together for us by our good friend Epiphany, so we thought we'd open the show with that. So, happy belated birthday to you, my friend.
Cool, dude.
So, let's see, what else do we have in the housekeeping? I'm still working through some email problems. I think for the most part we've got them ironed out now. One or two people have reported to me they had problems, but we're watching closely. I haven't seen too many things bouncing. Everything seems to be okay. And I've got one more change to make to our name servers. Once that takes effect, then, as far as I know, we should have everything up and running. So that's all I have for housekeeping, unless you had anything to announce.
No.
All right.
I'm good.
Hi, everybody. Let's do the email theme music. Okay, our first email this week comes from... All right, now, how do you pronounce this guy's name, by the way? This is a little game we had last week. You know, part of the running fun that we have on the show is trying to figure out how to pronounce people's handles.
So I think it's Dr. Lizard. Yeah, Lizard Mon or Lizard Man. Yeah, Lizard Man.
Yeah, and that's what his email here today is he's confirming that it is, in fact, Lizard Man. But... The first time I looked at it, I thought it said Laser Demon. I mean, it does look like Laser Demon, right?
I think it could go for both.
Right. And that's fun. See, that's fun, figuring out people's names. And this guy was very cool about it. And this is his email. He says, it is Lizard Man, but I like Laser Demon. I am not offended by your comments and had a good laugh. I had thought that my handle sucked until now. It is funny what stuff you get on eBay... Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, we switched topics here. It is funny what stuff you get on eBay AdWords. For example, I did a search for human heart today, and buy human hearts on eBay, new or used, best prices came up. So then we talked about the Google AdWords program on a previous show, so they had two sentences there. I think I ran them together because I'm not good at reading. I'm from the South, what can I tell you? Yeah, it's just that is that kind of a funny mistake, because that name could go either way. We're going to go with Lizard Man because that's what he's telling us it is. So Lizard Man, thank you for the email, and thanks for understanding that it's just fun. We're not insulting anybody's names or just trying to figure out how to read. We're just trying to get hooked on phonics here. That's all we're doing. Seriously, I don't understand why so many people get angry and upset and don't grasp the concept. We're having fun on the show. Damn, fuck off if you don't like it. And I mean that, seriously. How much was the human heart going for on eBay, I wonder?
I have no idea. I could go eBay that up for you.
Yeah, I might have to go check that out after the show. I want a screenshot. That would be kind of funny. New or used? How are you going to buy a new heart? Aren't they all used?
I guess they would all be new. Or, I mean, used.
How do you get a new human heart? Unless it's, like, artificial or something. Oh, well. Anyway, next email. You know what? Let's do this. Why don't you read it? You read a couple of emails. Why don't you read this email tonight?
All right. This part of that show I hated doing, by the way, when you were gone. First email is from Evil One. Yo, Stank, I like the show, but not as much as RFA, but still a good show. Anywho, I got some questions. Number one, how do you know when you've moved on from being a noob? You know you're not a noob, yet you're no guru yet either. Is there a middle ground? Number two,
should we do
this? Or do you want to answer?
I was going to say, should we answer?
Let's answer the first question first.
Yeah, should we answer or should we wait until we're all done? I guess let's do it. As we, that'll make it easier on you reading it. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, so let's see. About, first of all, should I say this? Okay, I don't understand why people have the need to point out that they like some other show better. I don't get that. What is the point? What is the productivity? What is the positive? What's the point of making that comment to me? You suck, but I got some questions.
Maybe they think this is like a spin-off show from RFA, though.
But it's a completely different... I was on RFA, and it's a different show. I don't know. The thing is, okay, I liked RFA. I was on it for a while. I loved RFA. I still love RFA. That's why we relaunched it with Episode 1. But that's not us. I mean, we're different. Saying it's better or worse, that's kind of... I don't know. It comes across a little bit rude. I get a lot of messages like this. This is why I've been having some issues lately with what the future of the show is, because I don't... Oh, anyway, you know what? I'll go on to question number one. Let's see. How do you know when you've moved on from being a noob? I don't really think that's a term or even a definition or some kind of measurement. It's not a point of measurement. It's not like, oh, well, you start off as a noob and then you're I don't know, whatever in between, then you become elite at some point. No, it's not. Noob is a joke. You know, we call Lucky a noob all the time, and Lucky knows a lot of stuff. You know,
I don't know. I think the people of the TV show Pure Ownage would have to disagree with you. My new favorite internet TV show.
Yeah, well, Pure Pwnage. They actually pronounce it Pure Ownage, but it's, I always say Pwned. Pwnage.
I thought it was Pwnage, yeah.
Yeah, I think they pronounced it on the show Pure Ownage, I think is what they say, but...
They say Ownage, but I don't know, maybe gamers, you know, they say it differently, you know?
Boom! Headshot! That
oh,
dude
man.
Carries the show. That dude's he's the coolest part of the show.
If you haven't seen Pure Ownage, go to purepwnage.com, pwnage.com, I think, and download the fifth episode.
Yeah, it's... And that guy was in an earlier episode, too, I think, like three or something.
Yeah,
anyway, yeah, that
the
show...
Best one. I think the episode five is just well put together and just hilarious. I love comedy like that.
Yeah, it is. It's a very, very funny show. It really is cool. So... In gaming terms, I guess a noob is somebody who just doesn't know how to play. I mean, I guess there's a gaming definition, but as far as hacking goes, noob, you know, only time you ever say noob is as a joke to somebody. It is kind of an insult joke, but I don't think anybody ever calls... Anybody who ever does label someone as a noob is a noob themselves. You know, it's one of those things where you can't label yourself or label other people, because who are you to do such a thing? Who are you to determine what is or what isn't elite, or what is or what isn't a noob, you know?
Yeah, if I ever said noob to people, I would tell them, you know, people that don't know me, they would think that I'm trying to offend them, but noob is not really to me an actual term, you know? Retard, idiot, stupid, you know, those are actual descriptions of people. Calling someone a noob is just a joke term.
Right, yeah, I don't think that's a measurement term. I think that's the simplest way to put it. If somebody's a noob... I mean, everybody's a noob at something, if you want to talk about it. Like, everybody's new to something. There's somebody knows more than me about everything. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Boy, people are going to take that sound clip and replay it forever. There's always something out there. There's always someone out there that knows more about you than you do. Always going to happen. So nobody's ever, like, uber elite that they know it all. And no one's ever, like, unskilled or, like, a true noob like people... seem to think this term means you don't know anything if you're a noob. I don't think that's the case at all. There's a lot of people I've met that are like, oh, I'm a noob, I don't know anything, and a few minutes later, I'm 20 minutes into talking to them, and I'm learning that they do know a lot more than they give themselves credit for. So
yeah.
I wouldn't use noob as a term of measurement or eliteness or whatever you want to call it at all. I think it's just a joke term, at least when I use it. And if someone does use it in a derogatory manner, guess what? Their opinion really shouldn't mean jack shit to you anyway.
They're elitist. Screw them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so where were we? What else?
All right, well, question number two from Evil One. My site got, quote, hacked. That dumb fucking PHPBS exploit. It was a hacker site, and the irony is killing me. Should I start over? I knew about the bug, but I'm lazy, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know. Everybody's got a little bit of lazy in them or lack of time. There's always excuses, but you know what? We're going to hold other people and real webmasters to them. Of course, they're getting paid for it usually, and we're not, but you gotta keep that stuff up. Yeah, it's a little bit ironic, but isn't that the same thing that took Covert Call down, by the way?
I really am not sure, because that whole entire site was hacked, and I don't even think they had forums.
I'm positive they had forums on there, but I don't know exactly what this. I don't know what the exploit is. I don't use PHP.
Well, it wasn't just Covert Call. It was a whole bunch of other spoofing sites that got Covert Call and Camophone.
Right, both of which, and see, I think I said on the show quite a few episodes back, those sites look like the same damn site, just with a different name. They use the same forums, they use the same site design and logos and graphics, and, I mean, it's the same person running
those.
Well,
they probably copy off each other, you know? They both, someone wanted to do the same thing with spoofing and make money off of it, just like how people do internet TV shows. They copy off each other.
Right down to the music.
Radio show.
Right down to the music sometimes. Yeah, we'll leave that one. I'll back off of that one. We'll leave that one alone.
And when people do radio shows, they copy off each other, too. So yeah. That's how people do business. They just copy and steal ideas. So.
Yeah, there's no new ideas left, I guess. Oh,
yeah.
Well. Yeah, part of webmastering is that's part of the deal, is you do have to update your software and watch. And no, you're not going to catch them all. Being a hacking site also makes you a target also. I watch very carefully. I know there's someone dying to find something like that on us. I watch very carefully, and I try to keep up with things, but, you know, all I can say as far as advice is make backups as much as you can, as often as you can, so that if you do get owned, you can restore from a backup, plug the hole that was, if you find out what the hole is, of course, you know, but you don't lose data. You might be down for a day or a couple days or a few hours or whatever the case is. But make backups as often as you can so that you can at least recover and get it back up and running. It happens to the best of sites. Happens to the best of people. I understand what you're saying, being lazy sometimes. Sometimes you just don't have time. Hey, you play the game, you take your chances. That's all there is to it.
Yep.
What else we have?
All right, well, question number three is, I have like 10,000 songs on my hard drive. I don't share very many of them, but the point is I have them. Should I worry about the RIA?
No.
I mean, how do they catch you? And reply to one of your last emailers is a question about independent jazz musicians. Check out www.acidplanet.com.
All right, acidplanet.com. We'll check that out. No, don't worry about the RIAA. Screw them. Who cares?
Downloading is not illegal. Uploading is illegal.
Right. And how is anybody going to know that those 10,000 songs you didn't legally rip from your CDs? Just because you have them on your hard drive. Now, yeah, once you start sharing them, then you're opening yourself up to potential. But you know what? Unless you're really pushing them out there and it's some luck involved, you know, that they happen to be looking out there. I mean, we've heard the stories of the 12-year-old girls and the 70-some-year-old grandmothers that it's happened to, but it's a little bit of luck involved, and I think
keep their clients on default to upload all that information. You know, they're probably leaving their programs open late at night, and, you know, they're just being uploaded. The ISP is detecting that uploading traffic, you know?
Yeah, I really don't think, in general, most ISPs don't care because they know that's what customers want. And they turn a blind eye to it. Now, none of them would ever admit that publicly because it would really get them in trouble with the RAAA. They'd really crack down on them and the government. But truthfully, they don't care. I mean, if you ever listen to commercials on the radio or TV, they're always talking about your music downloads and movies and all the great stuff you can find. They won't come out and say how or that, you know, copyright comes into play. They want people. They know that's a selling point, and they'll turn a blind eye to it unless it's like everything else. If the RIAA steps in and says, hey, you need to put a stop to it, then they'll force their hand because they're going to throw you under the bus before they go under themselves. And let's be honest, who's not going to do that?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get in trouble for downloading, you know, crappy quality MP3s of music, you know?
Yeah, I doubt that'll ever. I don't think you have anything to worry about. That's the short answer.
All right. Number four, from Evil One is at the beginning of the show, there's a rap song singing about firewalls and shit. Who's the artist? I want to download them.
I don't know.
And one more.
I don't know who that is. I forget. Oh. Who is that?
I don't know. Epiphany?
Today, actually, that's a good answer. Touche. Today it was Epiphany, but no, our normal theme song is from Zerl, of course. I didn't forget. Zerl's my dog. ZEARLE.com. It's on the frequently asked questions, the number one most frequently asked question that we get, and the answer is Zerl. So, Evil One. Oh, did I cut you off? Is there more?
Yeah, one more thing. If you air this, my handle is Evil One. Tell Rack, Saverlink, Logic, and the rest of the Phoenix 2600, I said, what's up? And I think you pretty much just did.
I think that just happened. Shouts to the Phoenix 2600 crew, or DEFCON group, or whatever they call themselves now. They all, see, that group of people, they go by whatever. They don't really care too much about the name, which I think is kind of cool. They all kind of join together and have a site for all the different ones. It's all the same group of people, though, at the same places. So, whatever. I think it's kind of cool. All right, let's see. Next email is from White Fly. Man, what is it? The guy last week, by the way, about the cool handle. Apparently, all you got to do, and I actually like the White Fly as a handle, don't get me wrong, but all you got to do is take an animal and put the word white in front of it. And that pretty much works. Just avoid birds. Avoid anything with a bird in the name of it, and you'll be safe. We've had bad luck with white birds, but we won't go there. I guess I already went there. It's too late. Anyway, Whitefly says, hello, I wanted to remark on your trepidations concerning Yahoo's practice of blocking Google spiders from searching their pages. Great, here we go. While this would initially seem like a distressing precedent, I do not believe we need to be too worried. After hearing your comments, I remembered that some search engines actually compile results from several others. So I quickly surfed over to dogpile.com and searched for GeoCities plus hacking, and received numerous results from GeoCities web pages. Interestingly enough, Dogpile reported that approximately half of these returned GeoCities sites were found using Google. Thus, even if competing search engines block each other's spiders, it seems that we will always have a way to search all the prominent search engines from a single portal. And another note, I just got paid today. We'll be ordering the mags soon, right after I treat myself to a new hoodie from Rant Radio. Doug can give you props on this. Sean Kennedy is the fucking man. And Sim is pretty leet as well. Late white. P.S. I want to give mad props to everyone involved in the BenRev forums. I have been frequenting them a lot lately, and I'm just uber impressed with how well everyone and sometimes our dumb questions are treated. It's just made up of a bunch of freaking cool individuals. And like I said, Doug, I'm sure you can back me up here. Sim is the man. Sim's always been cool with me.
Most definitely.
He's always been cool with me. And you met and hung out with these guys a bit at DEF CON, if I remember correctly. I wasn't able to make it, but didn't you meet all these guys?
No, I saw Sean Kennedy, but I never talked to him. And I saw Sumerian. Not that he actually spoke to Sumerian. I never got a chance to because I was in a different area. But Not Theory spoke to Sumerian, and so did Slip Mode.
Oh, Slip did? Oh, cool.
And Sumerian said, yeah, your guys' shows with BenRev and Default Radio, you know, it has the good hacking content for radio that they need.
Well, I don't know about all that, but yeah, Sim has always been very cool to me. So, Sumerian, you're all right in my book. Now, in the forums, yeah, I agree. I like most of the people in the forums, 99.9%. Of the people in the forums are just really awesome people that are very helpful for the most part. I've watched and witnessed people change, mostly for the better. So I think it's very accommodating. It's very friendly and approachable place to teach people, to learn, to ask questions and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, the vast majority of people in our forums I'm very proud of. They're very good people. And the other 0.0001%, we just promote them to moderators. Right, Doug?
Yep.
Yeah. So now watch. Now the actual hate mail I get next week will be from the moderators, not from the listeners. Great.
They got the moderators, arguing.
They'll all go on strike or something.
Just let people know that that go on the forums, being a moderator isn't all that great. You don't get any like special access or anything.
Yeah, you do. You have a moderators forum.
Yeah, that the DDP members seem to talk, and you guys have your own forums.
I'm trying. I'm posting some stuff out there for you all, man. I'm giving you all some good stuff. I will be anyway. I got some stuff planned. Anyway, what do you want, a medal? This isn't the fucking Olympics.
No, our mod forums is for us mods that do all the work while you DDP people just sit down on your ass and watch us do all the work.
Hey, better you than me, man. I've been hated on enough. I need a break.
I actually haven't done anything, like, once yet. Everyone seems to be all right. I haven't seen any problems lately.
Yeah, actually,
if anything,
they've been
Strong
good.
Catches it before me, so.
Yeah, they've been pretty good lately, actually. We had one little incident with a captain, and we got that taken care of, and since then, everybody's been flowing pretty smoothly. So, let's see. Now,
knock
as far
wood.
As... I'm sorry?
Knock on wood.
Yeah. As soon as they said that, it's going to come back to haunt me. As far as the Google and the Yahoo thing, actually, I got another email here from Tommy, who mentioned some other things that we've already beaten to death, so I'm going to skip over it. I'm going to start cutting some of these emails down a little bit and not repeating a lot of things, because I know some people have said to me that we probably dwell on things too much. So I'm going to move on, but I do want to mention this and clarify it. Tommy says, let's see, he goes on to say, also, 2 to 3 years ago, it was common knowledge that not all search engines had 100% of the web covered. How can they? It's so big. I can understand what you were saying about attracting the most people by having the most pages indexed. However, GeoCities' main goal is getting hits for ads, so that doesn't make sense for me. All right, now, I just took that one part out of his email, like I said, but I want to talk about this again because I think some people were confused or jumped to some conclusions. So I want to clarify this. Exactly what I'm saying is a scary possibility. Yeah, it's silly to think that any site's going to cover 100% of the web, 100% of the pages out there. It's impossible. It's logically impossible, realistically impossible. It's just impossible. It's ridiculous. So I don't think anybody's ever said that or made that point or insinuated such a thing. I think it's the goal. I think your goal is to come as close to 100% as possible from a business standpoint, a marketing standpoint, to be able to say that you've got the most of the web covered, or you've got the highest percentage or the largest number of pages. That's absolutely what you want to do. That is your goal, to become 100%. Are you ever going to get there? No. But that is definitely what you shoot for, and I think Google has never made any secret about that. That is what they've done. That's why they brag about how many pages that they have in their database. That's why they took off and became the success they are, is because people know that Google is the one place you can go to find everything, or damn near everything. I know that for a fact. I mean, that's absolutely their marketing strategy from day one. The more pages that they crawl, the more reliable they become. I mean, that makes logical sense, right? You understand that makes, well, it makes logical sense. I don't know how else to say it. That you can follow.
Do you think Yahoo somewhat censors or hides anything on purpose?
Yes and no. I think they all hide some things on purpose, especially now with Google hacking taken off as much as it has. You can definitely see that if you go looking for certain topics. And I'm not going to touch that line. I'm not going to cross that line to say what they are. But there are certain topics that if you go Googling for, you will not find many, if any, hits at all. There are certain things that are, well, I think people know what I'm saying. There are certain things that are downright illegal in the United States of America, no, in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Okay, especially if you go searching through Google Images, for example. So I know for a fact that they do filter some things out. So, do I think that this is where the misunderstanding was of what I said before. Do I think that they're filtering anything out for competition reasons or to eliminate or prevent, to somehow give them an edge over the other businesses? Well, I'm saying maybe. I'm saying maybe, and that's really what I'm trying to talk about here is, let's say, okay, we agree that the more pages they have, the more reliable they are, and that's what people want. A one-spot where they can get everything, where they can always go to and search. They don't want to have to say, okay, well, Google didn't have it. Let me go try Yahoo search. Oh, Yahoo doesn't have it. Let me go try MSN. MSN doesn't have it. Let me go try blah, blah, and jump around trying to find what they want. If you can have that one page that has everything, then you are going to draw the customers, the people, to you, period. So forget it. Forget any conspiracy theory and stuff like that. Now, let's say, what if some sites, any site at all, okay, and the example I was using was Yahoo, and I'm going to stick with that. Let's say any site, including Yahoo, was to begin blocking the Googlebot from crawling their pages. Now, don't. I'm not saying that they have. I think we've established that they're not exactly doing that. They're blocking out the blurbs. They may be stifling it. They may not be doing it the smartest way to get their results higher on Google. I don't know what the intent is. Is it accidental? Is it a stupid move on their part? I'm just saying it's a potentially dangerous and scary move, and let me explain why. If Google, let's go with that example. Let's say Yahoo is intentionally blocking the Googlebot from crawling their pages. Just go with that. If Google doesn't get those pages in their results, you have, okay, Yahoo owns GeoCities. Okay? GeoCities is a part of Yahoo. They bought it. And there's a lot of GeoCities pages out there. You have to think like an evil business person here and think, and this is one of my big problems with Sony, where they tried everything proprietary, and I'm not going to get into a Sony rant, but you got to think like that evil business person, the board of directors thing. You think to yourself, we've got GeoCities with all of those pages. Sure, we can let Google have them and generate hits over to us to get the advertising. Well, that's great for GeoCities, the one tiny subdivision of Yahoo. But you know what's bigger for Yahoo? Yahoo, the search engine, the portal. If you eliminate Google from being able to pick up all of your GeoCities pages, people are going to have to come to the Yahoo search engine to find those results. So you're forcing people, yes, you may not get the hits from Google, but you may be forcing people to come to Yahoo's main site and therefore see the Yahoo advertising, increase the overall hit count for Yahoo sites, because people aren't finding their results on Google. Now, again, I'm not saying that they're doing that. I think we've talked that and beaten that to death, and we're not going to go into it. It doesn't look like they're doing that now, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't start. And let me give you another example, for example. And it's not necessarily Yahoo. I'm not singling them out or saying that they're somehow evil or that they're blocking their sites again. Anybody could do it. Let's use MSN for an example. Let's say that Microsoft support. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of people, you have to look up things on Microsoft support, support.microsoft.com. What if Microsoft support pages started excluding Googlebot? What if they started blocking it? Now, GeoCities, you could say, yeah, who wants to see a GeoCities page anyway? I mean, it's GeoCities, right? What, I need a bunch of dancing animated GIF gnomes singing around and stupid GeoCities pages like that? But what if something a little bit more popular, like Microsoft's support section, what if they were not picked up by Google? What if they blocked the Googlebot from picking them up in the Google search engine? People need and are going to have to go to Microsoft support. It's a fact. It's a nature. We know they own the desktop market. We know they are huge in the server market. We know how many people have it. That's a well-established, the market penetration. There are people that have to go to that site. And guess what? If they block Yahoo from getting them, and they block Google from getting them, where are you going to go to find the results that you need? You're going to go to a Microsoft search product. You're going to go to the new search.msn.com.
Yeah.
So, yes, you know, is that explained it better? It's not so much that, sure, you're not going to get hits from Google anymore, but if you have a site powerful enough, and GeoCities, no, I don't think GeoCities is, the Microsoft support site, I think that's a scary possibility. And again, I'm not saying they're doing it, so don't email me with that. People are misunderstood that completely. But what if they did? What if Microsoft said we could only get those results on the Microsoft search engine? You'd be foolish to say that people aren't going to start using the Microsoft search engine to find that stuff. And you know how comfortable people get. They'll find it, they'll bookmark it, and they'll just start using Microsoft search engine in general. And the Microsoft ads that they sell, Overture and all that kind of stuff, all those ads are going to draw people, and you're going to steal links away from Google or any other site. So that's the potential scary part that I'm talking about. That was the only point I ever made in this, was that the engine that gets the closest to 100% and becoming the most comprehensive source for searching, that's the one that will win. That's absolutely it. And that's terrible that the possibility exists that they're going to start fragmenting the data. And I even wrote this in my, to pimp my article, my Robots and Spiders article for 2600 Magazine a while back. I predicted in that article, I said someday the search engine wars are going to be get so competitive that the robots.txt exclusion is optional. There's nothing that forces anybody to honor that. You're putting it out there, and they automate it to be respectful as part of the standard. It's optional standard. It's going to become so competitive at one point that if somebody does try these tactics, one of them is finally going to break down and say, you know what? I'm ignoring your robots.txt file. There's going to be a search engine war. I swear to you, I know that sounds like some weird sci-fi thing, a search engine war. Dun, dun, dun. There will be a search engine war sometime soon, in the next year, next
That's
2 years.
That's a good movie right there.
Yeah, we should make that documentary, The Search Engine Wars. It's like the old, what's the old saying, the old thing about the one who dies with the most toys wins? It's exactly what it is in the search engine market. The one with the most results wins. That's the bottom line. And if it starts getting fragmented, now the person earlier who was that White, was it Whitefly? Whitefly, who mentioned that there are other sites like Dogpile. I still like Clusty, the clustering search engine. There are other sites out there that search all of the search engines, ironically, and gather the results together, but they're going to start blocking them out. There's technical ways to eliminate people from doing that, so it's going to get really messy. I don't know who's going to take the first shot, but the first person that says, you know what, we're not honoring the robots.txt anymore, as soon as the first one falls, watch them go like dominoes. Watch it. Okay. I hope that clarified for everybody. I'm not saying that Yahoo is doing it. I'm not saying that MSN is doing it, or any of them yet. I'm just saying that if they do, and when they do, it's going to be a bad thing for the interweb. That's all I'm saying. All right, let me catch my breath for a minute. Can you do another email for me?
The war is going to start.
We need some, like, gunfire in the background. We need, like, something out of Terminator movie or something.
Yahoo versus MSN. All right. Email from Nugget. Okay, I was listening to episode 25 and heard that someone wanted to do...
25?
Did I say 25? I meant 85. was listening to episode 85 and heard that someone wanted to do or buy some Benrev Swag. And I don't know if there anyone else knows, but most likely do. But most www.cafeexpress.com, and it takes part out of whatever item for you and can make a profit, small, large, in between. So people like myself and other listeners could get some sweet Benrev stuff.
Sweet.
Have some people make some cool graphics to plaster on them. Like, the revolution is coming. Which side are you on? Forgive my spelling. Okay, that wasn't me. I still get great grades in school, and I will love, and I will be going to college this fall. Major in CS. Hope to learn lots at University of Toledo. Anyway, anyone who comes there, contact me.
All right, well, CS major, very cool. University of Toledo. I don't know much about University of Toledo, but I've said before, college is you're going to learn a lot of cool stuff no matter what. You're going to learn fundamental things, and from there, if you're a hacker, you've got that hacker mindset, you're going to take it to the next level anyway. Just get those fundamentals. So that's very cool to hear that. And if anybody does go there and wants to contact Nugget here, you can email it to us and we will pass it on and maybe get you guys in touch, guys and gals. And let's see, Cafe Press. Do you know anything about Cafe Press? I've read a little.
Back when Default was the number one radio show on the internet.
The interweb?
We were trying to, what?
The global interweb, you mean?
Yeah, the number one rated hit show on the global interweb. we were looking for places to make Default rated t-shirts. And I know that Cafe Press was like the worst one because they were expensive and they didn't have black t-shirts. They only had white t-shirts.
Really? I didn't know. They don't have black?
As far as when we were there back in 2004, early 2004, I remember that they only had white t-shirts.
Wow, that sucks. Yeah,
they do now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I looked into it a while back too. I don't know if it was as far back as 2004. That's a long, long, long time ago. You know.
Long time ago, like way back in the day, back in 2004.
Was the interweb around back then?
Oh yeah.
Oh okay. Whew, man. I did look into it a little bit, and one, I don't like buying anything sight unseen. So I don't know what their quality or anything like that was from Cafe Press. And second of all, and more importantly, everything I saw in there was expensive. The cheapest stuff I saw in there was maybe $12.99 on sale or something, and then you got to add $4 or $5. So I think it's $4 shipping for one shirt, if I remember correctly. But like most of them are $15 plus $4 for shipping, and I've seen some of them that are $19.99. You know, $25 for a T-shirt? No, not happening. I get a lot of other good stuff for $25. Screw that. So, because of those two things, I never bothered to try them. A lot of people have suggested them. I even had people suggest, apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently they have, well, I know it now after some people emailed me, they have a printing house, too, and people were suggesting I should send the magazine there to be printed. So it pretty much was the same mindset. I want to have it. I want to be able to control the quality. I want the magazine to look a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. So, never tried Cafe Press. However, I do want to try to get you some fine, sweet, just kick-ass swag. And I did that. I had T-shirts printed up and took them to Interzone. And the ones that we have left, I have here, and we'll put them up on the website very soon when I get time, like everything else. Hopefully this weekend I'll sit down and put them up. Let's see. Let's jump through some email a little bit quicker here because I do have a really fun main topic tonight. We're going to play along at home with a topic. Actually, this is the topic I presented at the InterZone conference. So get ready, everybody in IRC, get your Google pages up, get your browsers ready. We're going to do some fun stuff in a few minutes. But first, let's burn through a couple more emails. Let's see, this one comes from Anonymous. Actually, this is the same Anonymous listener, Doug, if you remember that emailed us. This is about the whole Paris Hilton thing and the sidekick, her sidekick getting hacked and everything. All right, so he had sent in claiming that it was this guy Ethics and his real name and had proof of it and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know the story because there's been several different versions of this story. And, well, let me read the email and then we'll talk about that exact point right there. This anonymous person says, in response to the ignorant puss that thought he disproved my last email, stating that I was simply trying to, quote, make a name for myself, which is indeed not the case, giving the anonymous handle. Good point. He claimed that Nicholas Jacobson was, in fact, the T-Mobile hacker, as stated in the Security Focus article, securityfocus.com/news/10271. Apparently, though, the reader did not read past the first paragraph, for if he had, he would have noticed that his handle, Ethics, was mentioned 10 times, and through the reader's exhaustive research to disprove my mail, at no time did he ever come across the handle Ethics and Nicholas Jacobson mentioned anywhere on the same page. A visit to the Security Focus article or a search on Google will prove otherwise. And furthermore, there's a long URL. I'm going to have to put this in the show notes because I'm not reading all this on the air. Furthermore, there's a website that outlines how he was linked to the alleged crime and towards the end outlines some of the technical details proving that government-ran proxies or honeypots do in fact exist and are used frequently. And I'm glad he said that. That's something we've said on the show many times. Be careful out there. Anyway, forgive my hastily written email. The original intent of my last email was to correct some misperceptions, but in doing so, even more misperceptions occurred due to ignorance. Now, again, I've heard several different stories from different people, and yes, I took a look at that Security Focus article, and I just don't know which ones to hold as true. I mean, no offense to Security Focus. For the most part, I can't say that I've ever claimed them to be inaccurate, but I never believe any one single source. And since I haven't had a whole lot of corroboration from other people, in fact, I've had the opposite, mixed stories from different people, I don't know what's true. I don't know what the truth of who hacked who and how. Do you have any insight, or do you have any...
The only thing I can say is that if the guy was smart enough that did pull all this stuff, he would keep his name anonymous. He wouldn't say who he was. He would just do it and not even mention about it. He wouldn't tell his friends and go around gloating around.
Well, and...
And have they busted someone for doing this?
I guess in... I don't know if it was in their private IRC channel and then it spread from there, or how that worked. But this is something that actually ZeroDB and I have talked about on many, many occasions. And Doug makes the exact same point. Sometimes, stafu. You just need to just stafu. Seriously. Keep it to yourself.
Why do you even care who did it? I mean, the funniest part is that her shit is on the internet. You know, big shout to the guy that did that, you know. But, I mean, you don't want to have your name out there and just be like, yeah, I'm the one that did this, you know, and then you get locked up the next day.
Yeah, it's just funny to me because it's her. It would not have been as funny to me if it was just about anybody else. You know, that's if it was anybody else, it would have still been kind of funny. But because it was her, it made it doubly funny because she's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, you know.
And like herself and most celebrities, all celebrities are on default.
Yeah, exactly. I think Lucky all said Paris Hilton is on default. Paris Hilton is a noob.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's just funny. And no, because it was her getting owned doesn't make her dumb or anything. She was already dumb. I mean, let's be honest. Come on.
That's true, too.
She's rich, but, you know, she's not... Yeah, she's not the brightest bulb in the light.
Hey, she's got a great life, though, so you know what? Shouts to her.
Oh, I'd trade places with her.
I
would rather be dumb and rich any day.
She doesn't have to be smart. That's awesome.
Right. That is a good point. Actually, I would not. I'd rather be smart and poor, but whatever. Rich wouldn't hurt, you know. It's not a bad life.
She gets to do anything she wants.
And not even think about it. I mean, do you realize how... I can't even imagine... Really, my imagination... I couldn't even imagine what it's like to buy what you want, when you want, where you want, for whatever reason. Just, yeah, I'll take it. And not even think of the consequences. Yeah, here's my card. Whatever. I'll take it.
Yeah, I would want to be rich. Not famous, but I would want to be rich.
Yeah, unfortunately, being rich forces fame, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked again. Let's see. What else do we got here? Email from It's Raining. It's Raining. Okay. It's Raining. No G. Stank Dog. Hey, man, just picked up the show on podcast. Was researching podcasting and stumbled in BenRev. Anywho, love... What's with anywho? Why is everybody saying anywho lately? Anywho... Love the show, very interesting and entertaining. Got the eps on the iPod, and I'm catching up. My one complaint is that it's not work safe. I was listening the other day in my office, and suddenly the F-bomb was dropped once or twice. Only once or twice? What the fuck episode was that? No.
Holy
now,
fuck.
Yeah. Now, personally, I really don't care. And if I was at home or in my car, I wouldn't second glance it. Can you second glance with your ears? No, I know what you mean. But I love to listen to BenRev at work, but it can get me in some hot water sometimes. I'm very against censorship and telling people what they should do or say in their own creations, but is the language really that necessary? Doesn't really add to the content or further any purpose, that's all. Keep it up, man. You put on a great show. I will continue to listen, just may not listen at work. And he's got a little smiley, so see, that's cool. That's P.S. When I download the MP3s, the episode name isn't in the actual ID tag. It just says Binary Revolution Radio. May want to add the episode number. I had to manually add it in on mine, just FYI.
You know what? You should do that, actually.
Yeah, I just don't know. Am I really going to go back through all of the episodes and add that in? I mean, what I do is I put in the... there's a track. There's a track number in the ID3 tag, and I fill that out every time.
Yeah.
So, maybe that... Yeah, I will put that on the bottom of the list of things to do, which means, yeah, it's right below offering up Og Vorbis versions of the show. So it's on
the
list.
That's what I used to do with default in the Mind War. I would always put default as the artist, and then the title would be the episode number, or in the case of the Mind War, it would be the actual date.
Yeah, there is a limit on the size, too, and I don't know if there's enough space to add those in, but I think you can probably go to your MP3 player and have it display that. I know it'll explain the name and title. I don't know if you can have it display the track number field. But it is in excuse me, it is in the ID3 tag somewhere, so, because that's when I used to sort them on my hard drive when I'm looking for them. As far as they're not safe for work, yeah, we're not. There's no gentle way to say it. I even get a lot of flack from people for censoring myself too much. But I'm not going to hold back when I feel that there's a need to do it. I have warnings on the website. I realize you found us through a podcast, and the podcast sites, they're independent. I can't force them or tell them, you know, to put up warnings or notes. On our website, there's a warning that says exactly that, that there's foul language. Yes, I do hold back somewhat. I mean, if you saw some of the actual emails that I read and saw how much editing, not editing, but how much ad-libbing I do on the fly to try to avoid gratuitous use of them, you'd be pretty shocked. But frankly, I disagree with your the point that you said where it doesn't add anything. I absolutely think it does add things on occasion. That's why I try to edit it out in wasteful or gratuitous circumstances. I don't want to just say fuck because I can say fuck. Fuckity, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck. Now, that's gratuitous. There's no point. Actually, that was kind of funny, so there was a point. I can't just, you know, just dropping it for no reason. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that point 100%. But I try to keep it in if I feel that it's part of what I'm saying. If I feel strongly about something and I feel that I can give it extra emphasis by dropping the F-bomb or some other word, I think it adds enthusiasm, I think it adds emotion, and I think it will show people how serious I am about a topic or how serious a topic is. And I think that absolutely adds something to the content. So, yes, gratuitously, I agree with you 100%. And like I said, I get a lot of flack and feedback. People tell me I'm censoring myself and how I shouldn't do this and that. And you know what? I try to limit it to only times when I do want to make a point. So, yeah, I have to disagree with that. I do have it for a point. Sometimes, I've said before, sometimes the point simply is humor. I do think there's room for humor. I mean, the whole show is about having fun, which people always seem to forget. So if there's a joke or some way to make it, say, funny, say make it more funny, you know, then I'll do it. Fucking A, Doug?
Fucking shit. You know, speaking of podcasting, man, there is some interesting shows on podcasts.
Oh, don't, dude.
Like,
Let's not go on that tangent because
that are just really horrible. Like, my 5-year-old niece can do a better show than some of these people.
I agree. We can make a whole show.
I have some, when I do radio, I have some funny clips that I just want to play to people.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. That would be hilarious. Maybe we'll put some stuff on
the podcasting.
the worst of podcasting. The worst, all right, there's one podcasting show where I think it, the guy just takes a dump. That's his show. He goes to the bathroom and he records it.
But that's entertaining.
That's funny.
Things that are like, what the hell?
All right, and here's one that I hate. Is this one with this couple that I guess they have sex on the air, or they talk about sex on the air.
We talked about that a few weeks ago on the show.
Please.
But I'm saying there are some shows that are just, some, like, there's this one with this chick with a microphone, and she just thinks she's all that, and her, like, her show's 5 minutes long, and the MP3 is, like, 300 megs.
Wow, man, see? Yeah, you know what, we're going to do let's do a special episode one time, and we're going to play a bunch of clips and stuff from some of the other podcasts. But see, the catch-22 of that, somebody will say the same thing about us. So, I don't know. We'll do that for fun one time. We'll do that for fun. Maybe we'll do like the stupid podcast line of the week or something like that. I think that would be a funny podcast show to make fun of other podcast shows, like Mystery Science Theater style.
Yeah, I was going to do that actually on my show. I was going to have like the best podcast quote of the day.
Yeah, that would be funny because I'm sure there's lots out there. You have to do a lot of listening and research though to find this stuff. All right, anyway, man, we're going to burn through here a little bit quicker. Where was I here? ID3 tag, yeah, I talked about that. Safe from work. Yeah, we're not going to be safe from work. We're just not going to be safe for work. There's no other way to say it. I'm not going to water it down completely. I'm going
to
drop
people get fired from work listening to this show.
Yeah,
so
they have, yes, absolutely. Honestly, and you know what? If it makes you feel any better, I listen to all of my stuff at work in headphones as well. I put headphones on because I know better. I think you will find, and maybe I'm making an overgeneralization here, but I think that you will find that the majority of internet radio is not safe for work. Not just this show, but I think you'll find that just about all of the shows out there are not safe for work. So I've gotten used to it because I've been around for a while and know how it goes. So I wear headphones when I listen to stuff at work. But that's just me. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, what's that beeping I heard? Are we being tapped?
Nah, someone kept trying to call me.
Oh. Is it that noob Lucky?
No, it was actually my dad.
Oh. All right, let's see. Next email comes from Rob F., who, let's see, he said a lot of other stuff, but I wanted to mention this one part. This is a follow-up to, I think it was OOB, Out of Bounds, OOB last week or week before, saying that the Microsoft anti-spyware deleted some of his MP3s. And we were saying how that's not cool, there's no virus in the MP3, it shouldn't be deleting actual data files like that. And Rob F. says, the Microsoft deleting MP3's concern, I believe, is simply a side effect of a bad design and the removal of Kazaa, or intentional, but it's not actually scanning the MP3s. Rather, it deletes Kazaa and all of its subdirectories, including the MP3s. That makes perfect logical sense. That's probably what happened, that it deleted Kazaa as a peer-to-peer app, and it shouldn't be doing that either, theoretically, but if it did and you okayed it, it probably deleted the downloaded files directory or incoming or whatever it's called, including all the files that are inside of it. So that's just a bad design, like he said. And I never did get any email from anyone else saying that they had similar problems, confirming that that happened to them as well. So that makes perfect sense. So he also had a lot of other good comments that I'm not going to talk about because we've pretty much already addressed them today or in the past. But I will pass on his shouts to Jessica J. You go, girl. I don't know where that came from. A little Oprah took over for a minute. Oprah needs to have an internet radio show. Oprah should have a podcast.
Oprah should have a podcast. That's a good idea.
That would be pretty elite.
I'll call her tomorrow about that.
Yeah, we'll have to make that happen. I should have Oprah as a co-host one week. That would be awesome.
Oh. Be the best show ever.
Maybe that's what we should do to make the show fun again, liven it up. Maybe we should have fake celebrity co-hosts. We'll get people who can do good impressions or something and have them on the show. All right, anyway, let's hurry up and buzz through these.
You're like pulling like a Howard Stern, I swear to God.
Oh, man. I am the king of all internet media. Fuck Howard Stern.
Hey, that is already taken, okay?
Oh, no. You're just a media whore in general.
I'm not a media whore. That's Lucky's job right there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. Actually, Lucky's been slipping lately. There's some other people. We're taking the media whore mantle away from him. Anyway, let's see. Email from Freaky Hazard. Hey there, I'm Freaky Hazard. Nice to meet you. And I live in Norway.
Hey,
how you doing? Not many people over here are interested in stuff like this. I've been interested in hacking and freaking for a while now, but just recently I came across the Old School Freak site, and I found a link to BenRev, so I decided to listen to some of your shows, and it totally blew my mind. It's so fun to get news and information from someone who has a similar view on the most common problems that we hackers face. It's real fun when you get all fired up with your rants. I do that sometimes. This show opened a whole new world for me. The BenRev magazine, the 2600 magazine, Hack TV, and other radio stations. I just wanted to thank you for all the great stuff and keep up the superb work. P.S. I am so going to order all your issues of BenRev now. Greetings from Freaky Hazard in Norway. So thank you, big ups, big shout-outs to Norway. Big up yourself. And if you like Old School Freak, you should probably check out Pimp Pimp, the new RFA podcast, Radio Freak America podcast, available at oldschoolfreak.com, re-releasing all the classic episodes of Radio Freak America, starting with episode one.
Classic memories of Dual Parallel.
Classic freaking goodness with Dual Parallel, Rax, Mary Chan, Condor, the whole group. So go check that out if you have not already. That's good stuff. And it still holds up well. And you know what? That was a fun show. And this so far has been a fun show, Doug. Thank you for keeping me a little light this week as far as the content here. Let me get this last email, and then we are going to do, let me see how we are on time here. We are going to do a main topic tonight that's a play-along, and I think it's also going to be fun. But one last email here from... Yikes. How am I... Let's see. All right, you're gonna, we're going to take guesses on this, and I'm going to say that this is... Caroxus.
I'm going to say Caroxus.
Just to disagree? Caroxus or Caroxus says... It's Caroxus.
Not just to disagree, because I think it's Caroxus.
No, it's you're doing it to disagree just because you... anyway. Caroxus. Caroxus? That sounds like a butthole disease or something. Caroxus.
Maybe he likes a butthole disease. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Caroxus or Caroxus says, "Hi, Stank Dog." You can't get butthole disease through email, can you? Maybe I should...
I hope not.
I'm going to skip this one. Hey, Stank Dog. Or, excuse me. Hi, Stank Dog. I found your show through iPodder, and I really, really like it. I spent the last week in bed. The flu hit me. Uh-oh. I'm just saying, butthole disease. I'm just saying. And listened to your show and tried to catch up, which isn't that easy because English is just a second language for me. So it takes me a little longer to get all the points you and your co-host talk about. So far, your English is better than the majority of our native English-speaking emails are. But anyway, here's a small question which I have. Is there somewhere, and I guess the answer is yes, a schedule of conventions and meetings like the HOPE and DEF CON? I'm going to be in the States around June, and I would like to join one of those shows or conventions, I think, but I wasn't able to find one yet. You're really doing a good job, so please keep up the good work. Thanks and greetings from good old Austria. P.S. Sorry for my imperfect English. I'm working on that. Like I said, your English is better than a lot. So
that was pretty good.
Yeah, actually, that was pretty darn good there, Caroxus. As far as the site for conferences, honestly, I don't know of any. I mean, that's a simple thing. I was excited about a feature that was in the Envision forums when we did the last upgrade. That added a calendaring feature, and we started off, we were adding all the shows. I know Default Radio, Ben Rev, and I think Infonomicon started adding theirs, and then it just suddenly disappeared. People forgot that there's a calendar built in there. So,
I used that when the MyOR came out. I was like, holy crap, there's a calendar in here. I forgot about
it. Yeah, and it's great for stuff like that, and it was working at the beginning, and people just, I think they just don't realize it's there. So this is your reminder that it is there. But you know what I think I'm going to do is I think I'm going to throw up something under the projects page, a little cheap calendar or just a little quick schedule updated every couple months, because it's not like you have to keep on top of it daily or even weekly. You know, you put in the conferences, they're announced up to a year ahead of time, so you go in every few months and maintain it. I think that'd be a simple, easy project to throw up somewhere, so might try to see if we can make that happen. Unless, if somebody's already done it and it's already out there, there's no point reinventing the wheel. Just email us. radio@benrev.com, and let us know if something already exists. And an easy URL. Don't give us some long, drawn-out GeoCities thing. All right, that's it for the email. Let's jump into some show-and-tell quickly and then go into our main topic. We're going to have another full show today, that's for sure. I'll go ahead and do my show-and-tell because it's real short this week. Obviously, we mentioned that I was at InterZone week before last, so kind of slowed a lot of things down. I went to my DC305, New Hack City, went to my DEF CON meeting this past Saturday, a couple days ago. And other than that, I've been working and traveling and actually working with Nick, testing some pages. He has put together as further more parts to the DDP Hack Radio program, for lack of a better word, or system, some pages to dynamically generate the schedule and the archives. So we will put those up. Hopefully by the time you hear this, those will be up and working. They will be PHP pages that are dynamically generated. When we upload a show, it will automatically put the notes in there. It'll automatically put the link, download links, etc., etc. And another surprise that I'm not going to announce on this show, I'm going to wait till we get that up and working and speak to a couple of the hosts, some of the show hosts, and make sure everybody's aware that we have this available and get them using it, and then announce that probably next week. So we do have a dynamic schedule and a dynamic archive, at least for BenRev Radio, and a dynamic schedule for all of DDP Hack Radio. So that's very cool. Shouts to Nick for that. He's amazing. He can throw together PHP code so fast.
Yeah, and, he's good at PHP. He's always helped out Default Radio, myself personally, and any other project that, you know, I've worked on or Decoder's worked on. He's always been good with PHP.
Yeah, he's really good with a lot of other things. That guy's going to be making a six-figure income very, very soon. Phenomenal, phenomenal guy. All right, so that's it for me. What have you been working on lately? I know you went out of town for, first of all, let me formally, again, thank you for taking over the show for 2 weeks. I know we're joking and laughing around, but sincerely, I did listen to the shows. You did a great job on the shows, and I know you had to take off out of town to take care of some business and stuff afterwards, so I haven't really had time to talk to you since then, so I'm taking this time
email me?
On the air.
Email me and be like, what have you been up to? I haven't talked to you since you got back, and I was like, don't ever talk to me again.
Probably. I don't know. I figured you have me on kill file anyway. But no, you guys did a good show, and I do appreciate it. I've said that on the air publicly now, so now go ahead and talk about your...
Yeah, big thanks to Lucky for helping me out on that one. That helped a lot. When we did that, both weeks, we did that 2 hours before the show had to air.
Great.
Because that was right when Lucky got off work.
Oh, man. So how did you get it mixed in time and uploaded to the servers?
Well, I had to make sure there was at least an hour before we had to air it. That way I could at least hear the whole show to make sure if I had to edit out anything that I forgot.
Right.
But, yeah, it was perfect timing.
It's tough to do these shows. People don't realize.
BenRev is a real hard show to do because of the content, you know, and come up with things. Plus, we didn't get much email. Usually email fills up the show a lot.
Yeah, it does, and it did this time, too, so...
Yeah,
it comes and goes. It comes and goes, I guess. But anyway, I know you've been doing, since you have been back, I know you've been doing a lot of video editing, something I should be doing, but haven't had time lately.
Yeah, I actually, White Sword did just release this on the forums. I made him a little, we were talking about this last night, I made him an opening theme for his show, and we were talking about changing the song every episode. So if you check the forums, you can see that it was posted. And so far, pretty much, Lucky has a new job, and we're going to try to get together every night and do some filming. We're supposed to be doing some filming tonight, actually, after the show. He's on his way over here. But I wanted to do some Doug TV filming. And another thing I want to do is once I get some... I have a lot better equipment now, but I want to get myself some better microphones, you know, like a shotgun mic, just like the real movie people have. And I want to do a continuing TV series for the internet, and that's going to require myself going... Some friend of mine had the idea of going down to high schools and going down to drama classes and start passing out flyers of, you know, just independent actors and try to get something together.
Could be interesting. Just listen.
I've had this idea for a series that actually had, like, a real storyline for quite some time, and with the kind of series it is, I can do it with the equipment I have, you know?
Yeah, that's the great thing with the onset of DV cams and the affordability, the prices dropping, there are a lot of independent filmmakers coming out now. There really are, and they're talented people that you can't, you know, not all of us can afford to go to film school and stuff like that. So,
with all the technology we have with, you know, Digital 8 and mini DV cameras and Windows having, you know, Premiere Pro and all those fancy software and stuff, you know, if you got good lighting and you got, you know, good microphones and stuff and tripod, you're set to go, you know. And if you're creative and know what you're doing, know how to hold the camera steady, you know what to do and what angles to film, then you can pretty much make a movie, you know. Just get a nice, powerful computer for the editing, and then you're set.
Yeah, and this is something you and I have gone into in depth and something we agree 100% on, and that is taking advantage of the internet as a new medium for entertainment and news and just the potential.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it's just...
That's why I want to do this series. I want to release a new episode. Once it's all done, I want to release a new episode up for download every, you know, 2 weeks or whatever, and being able to have, you know, maybe put it on Rant TV if they're interested, things like that. Not to, you know, I don't want it to go for public access. I'm not trying to get it out on DVD. I mean, I might release a DVD that people can, you know, donate for just... The DVD, the content will be free, but you just have to pay for the actual disc, you know?
Right.
It's total free entertainment, you know, what it's all about.
Yep, absolutely. That's the best kind. People are doing it for the love of it and for the experience of it. They're going to make the best stuff. Just look, when you become...
Right now, I'm going to advertise right now if anyone lives in Southern California and that thinks they can act, drop me an email, doug@dougtv.org.
/prawn. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, that's not the one you were talking about? Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
No, not that one.
Oh, okay, that's just for you and Lucky to do. Okay, I see. Are you making prawn, Doug?
No, I'm not making prawn.
Are you sure?
No, but someone's calling me again.
Good grief. All right, well, I guess that's it. Let's go into the show, or let's get out of the show and tell and go into the main topic, I should say. And this is going to be a shortened version of my presentation. And, Doug, I think you're going to find this actually pretty funny. I don't know that you've seen this yet, so this might be the first time you've heard this also. But this is a summary, a short version of my presentation from Interzone. And this is going to be a play-along at home. And this is for the people that are listening live in IRC. You're going to get the first crack at this. You're going to have the most fun with this because you're going to be owning people right away. And those people downloading on the podcast, you can have fun too, but you might already have some sites owned before you ever get a hold of them because of this. To refresh everyone's memory, my presentation at Interzone 4 was on disposable email vulnerabilities. Now, again, disposable email is kind of a term that I made up. I've seen it used elsewhere and kind of caught on now, which is fine. Maybe somebody else made it up at the same time I did, whatever. But it refers to a site that gives you an email that is email address that's temporary. And some of the most famous, well-known ones are Mailinator.com or Dodgeit.com, Dodgeit.com. And that's actually probably the most well-known one. And what these sites do, and actually, technically, if you want to get right down to it, you can use Gmail, Hotmail, any of these other webmail accounts the same way. But the whole point is, instead of going to a site and registering with your real address or subscribing to a mailing list and giving them your real email address, because either A, you don't want to be spammed to death. You don't want your email address sold around and then you get passed from list to list and all of a sudden your inbox is full of spam. And B, for whatever reason, you just want to protect your privacy. You don't want your real email address tied to whatever site. If you're going to register at the Goatsy forums or something, and you don't want people to know that that's really you at whatever email address, you may want to use one of these services. Well, there are just some inherent problems with these, and this is really what my presentation amounted to. And I'm going to give you a walkthrough right now that everybody can do. And, Doug, I don't know if you're in front of a computer right now, but maybe you can go along as I go through this.
Yeah, I'm in front of a computer.
Okay, so here's a super shortened version of this because I know that all of our listeners are going to zero in on this right away. The problem with these sites is that they're not password protected. And when I say these sites, I mean the email sites themselves. For example, go to Dodgeit.com. And you will see that you're simply presented with a form to put in the email address name that you want to use. So I wanted to use StankDogTemp for the email address. I go register at a site, sends me the information, and I verify it from there. Well, guess what? If someone else knew the name that I used, they can access that same email. They'll get my confirmation email. They can access that same account. Now, that's not really the biggest concern, because to find that, you'd have to get either A, lucky, to find somebody who just registered and has a password email sitting there, because you'll also note that there's no delete button. You can't delete a message after you've gotten it. So the only way you'd really find that is if you're very opportunistic. If you happen to notice somebody on your site register with one of these email addresses, you realize that you could go right behind them, get their confirmation and the password that was mailed to them, and own their account. Well, because these sites have been around for a while, and because people are on default, because people are stupid, see, this isn't even on default because there is no default. There's no password.
Yeah.
All you got to do is go to Google, put in your search terms for Google, quotation marks, at Dodgeit.com, end quotation marks, and do a search, and you're going to get tons of hits. Narrow it down, do a little bit of Google hacking. Add +profile, which will find you any pages that have the phrase at Dodgeit.com, and the word profile on the page. That'll narrow it down some more. Or anything else you can think of. Profile, personal, plus personal information or something like that. Any phrase you think you might find, something like that. User list. And go through those hits. And I'm sure people have already jumped ahead of me and see what the problem with this is. You see that somebody registered at a site, and do you see one in front of you? Don't read it out loud, Doug. We're not going to condone this or anything. I did this by creating an account on sites that I own.
225. No.
I did this and did screenshots, and I created a vulnerable account that was mine on a box I owned for a proof of concept in my presentation. So we're not going to read one on the air, but Doug, I'm sure you can find where somebody has registered at a site with a Dodgett.com email address.
Yeah.
Here's the fundamental problem. These things are highly susceptible to a backdoor, a classic traditional definition of a backdoor attack. Registering at any site these days, any content management, any forums, one of the features that they absolutely have to offer for logistical reasons is, I've lost my password. Resend it. And I'm pausing because I know that everybody just realized it. All you have to do is know that somebody used it. Go click on the I lost my password link. Use the email address. Bam, email sent to a public email address with no password protection. And you can own any site of anybody that's used a Dodgett. Whether they've changed their password even after they got it, it doesn't matter. You say you've lost it, they're going to resend you a new one anyway. Anybody that's ever used a Dodgett account, a Mailinator account, or any other, almost every other, temporary disposable email account is owned as of right now. Anybody listening to this right now, you've probably already, in the time that I've been talking, owned some people. It's that quick and that easy. And what does that mean? You can go, it depends, the danger level on this varies. You could own some schmuck, and all he did was create an account on Goatsy forums or whatever, just so he could access certain things. Other people may have full-fledged accounts. What if some idiot gave moderator powers to somebody that uses this? Or admin authority, and you just backdoored your way and owned their account? That's scary.
Should I change my BinRev email?
Actually, BinRev has been protected from this for quite some time, my friend. I blocked these addresses a long time ago because I knew better.
Yeah.
However, this was the motivation for our latest project, which was also officially announced, and it's on the front page of BinRev.com and StankDog.com, and that is our site called WillHackForFood.biz. Now, I've went over this before briefly, and you can read my article on StankDog.com. It's got the more detailed version of it. But basically, we register sites for the fun of it, and WillHackForFood.biz was one of them. We just thought it was a funny name. And we register these sites as sandboxes. We install software on them and play around with them just to test our own security, to try to hack away at things. Well, when we came up with this idea for a disposable email system that was secure while still offering the same functionality, we figured that was the perfect URL to use. So you can have StankDog at willhackforfood.biz. The .biz makes it extra funny. And we went with .biz because it was $4.95 a year to register and we were being cheap. We didn't actually expect we'd ever use it, but we did. So, willhackforfood.biz is another disposable email system. However, the long and short of it is, it's much safer because, A, it offers a password, which it's still easy to register, and that's what makes it different. I said earlier, you could use Google or Gmail or Hotmail or one of those. The problem there is that you have to fill out your life story and send them a photocopy of your nutsack wrinkles to identify you personally on your account, so you have to go through all these steps. WillHackForFood is as simple as the others. It just makes you put a password, and it makes you choose how long you want the account to stay active. On the others, they stay active. They only delete emails at like every 30 days, every 90 days. It depends on how they're set up on a case-by-case basis. The account is not really, there's not really an account, they're automatically set up. With WillHackForFood, you go in and create an account, we force you to put a password on it and an expiration date. And what that does is, A, it password protects it, period, so nobody can get in, unless you put a dumb password. And if you do that, you're on your own, you deserve to get owned anyway. Secondly,
I like that idea of temporary email accounts, because that way you can just, instead of giving out your email address to someone, you know, you just be like, well, send it to here at test123 at willactforfood.biz.
Exactly, exactly. And then the other great thing about it that I like is, by design, we're forcing people to never use it again. If you use test123 and you set it to expire, you can have it go from 8 hours to as long as a week is the maximum that we're offering right now. And you're also able to send and receive and delete messages, I should add that. We use Squirrel Mail to power the thing. We actually use Squirrel Mail, a full-functioning web client. It's an open source. It's a great product. It did exactly what we wanted. There's no use of us reinventing the wheel or making it. So we use that to power the actual mail, web mail client. So we use Squirrel Mail, and you have the full functionality. There's a limit on attachments. You can't have a whole lot of space, but I think it's like 1 or 200K we have it set at right now. So you can even send and receive quick little attachments. However, whenever you set that expiration date, all of these things are stored in a database. And when your expiration date comes, it sets a flag that says this account is expired, and it forces you to not come back. You cannot log back into that account ever. There is no possibility of a backdoor. By design, there's no backdoor enabled. You can't get back into your own account. And, you know, I've heard some people say, well, wait a minute, what if I need to get back into it? What if I forget something? What? You know what? If you do, you shouldn't have used a disposable email account in the first place. If it's something you want to get back to, you should be using a real email account, even if it's another temporary one, another Hotmail one somewhere else that you can get back to, as long as you accept that responsibility. But for people who want a one-time, truly disposable email, willhackforfood.biz is your best friend right now. So I encourage anybody, if you want such a thing, go check it out. It is up and running. Everything's working fine. There are a few little features we're going to add to it over time and eventually open source this. The future of this is that we'll make this an open source package that people can download and install on their own servers. Because the thing is, you can easily block a site, just like I easily block Dodget and Mailinator and willhackforfood.biz, I'm sorry to warn you, from the forums. You cannot register using those addresses because they're very easy to block. However, if we release this open source and we make it so that anybody can set up these servers on any URL or any TLD of their whatever they already have, what this effectively does is becomes a distributed, temporary, disposable email account system. You can't block every TLD. So this will expand privacy and spread it across the global interweb, if you will. So I think this is a very cool site. Again, Nick 84 and I worked on this together, designed it from the ground up. Like I said, we are adding some new features as we go along. There's some scalability issues that we're fully aware of that we're going to have to address at some point in time. But for right now, it logs the username, expiration date, and that's about it. We're adding some logging features. And I should also warn people, if you've got bad intentions in mind, I should warn you that Apache logs are still running on this. We don't have access to the email. Well, I guess technically we could get to the file system and go through emails. But anyway, at some point we're going to add some encryption offerings in there so that you can protect stuff like that. But the only thing that we log is standard Apache logs. So if it turns out that some spammer gets a hold of this or somebody does something highly illegal using the service and the FBI comes to my door or the CIA or whoever, I'm going to give them those logs in a heartbeat. So you want to do something stupid, that's all on you. That's not what this is for. This is to offer prevention for avoidance of spam, first of all, while still maintaining privacy and security. That's what this is for, to use for absolutely valid reasons. And if you use it for something other than that, don't hide behind me and don't hide behind Will Hack for Food. So anyway, I don't know, most of that was probably lost on people because they're probably out owning people. If you haven't owned four or five by now, I mean, it's so simple. And you can see tons of people out there using these addresses and using these accounts. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. It really is.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was fun. I hope those of you who are playing along at home, I hope you enjoyed that. Doug? Let's close this up. I think we're running out of time. By the time I edit anything together, I think we're right at the full show. I'm going to give the site of the week. I'm going to start doing this every week if I can, a new site of the week. This week's site of the week is whitesword.tk. And, of course, regular listeners and people in the forums, I'm certain, know White Sword and his urban exploration show. How many episodes is he up to now?
15, I believe.
15 episodes. So that's very cool that he stuck with this. He keeps doing it because he enjoys it and it's fun. And I really felt, in a weird way, if I sound corny here, I was kind of proud on an episode, I think it was 13, 14, where he was sitting in front of the camera and talking, and he said something that I've been waiting for him to say and understand for the longest time. He said, "For all of you out there who do nothing but bitch and complain and tell me that you don't like the show, shut up and make your own show then." Thank you. Thank you, White Sword. Thank you for saying that, and I'm so glad that you... I hope you really understand that, because I think you might understand me a little bit better now and why I've reacted to you the way I have in the past sometimes. So I'm glad that you came to that realization. And you're right. You're absolutely right. I say to everybody, go check out White Sword TV. Good show. He's doing something, and if you're not, piss off.
I make a comment, too, about my show. My show is not going to be... in DevX or any AVI format. I'm sticking to Windows Media Video. Show is not a hacking show. It's going to be a show that high school kids are going to watch probably.
Yeah, your show is not... the hackers all want Linux-compatible codecs and blah, blah, blah.
You know what?
But you're not targeting...
Linux skill, if they had actual Linux skill, they could play it in Linux. It's not that hard to play WMVs in Linux.
Right.
I can do it.
Yeah, and like you said, that's not really your target audience. I mean, you've got a lot of friends in the hacking scene, and I know you're in the hacking and freaking scene as well, but that's not really... The show is not a hacking show. I mean, I think you've made that abundantly clear.
The first episode of the season is going to start off where it's going to say, "Microsoft Windows Media presents."
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure it'll be great. Just remember that when you're out there making seven-figure salaries, making big-time movies... I want lifetime passes to any movie you make.
All right?
I want you to commit to that. I want lifetime passes to all of your movies, including The Prawn.
But I do want to say one more time, this is going to be my closing shout, is that
okay.
If anyone recommends any kind of way to go around and meet with any kind of independent actors in the area, what you recommend, I know public access is one of the things, like I said, drama schools and high schools, drama classes. If anyone has any recommendations or any tips or suggestions, I'm really interested, and I'll read any email about it. Send it to me, doug@dougtv.org.
All right, and for my shouts, I'm going to give shouts again to Phoenix 2600 Group. Somebody mentioned them earlier, to Rax and Logic and those guys there. To DC305, my local DEF CON, Miami, New Hack City, and to QBiz, who gave a cool presentation this past week. And to the person who put in that search string that says, quote, "Do you see this search, Stank Dog, in my logs?" Yeah, I saw it. Shouts to you. I saw that. I see everything. And again, happy birthday to Epiphany. Email us at radio@binrev.com if you have any comments, feedback, follow-ups, etc. Except complaints. You can shove those right up your ass. Our closing music tonight is going to be Woo Child. And it's called Hotel, a remix. And, Doug, thank you again for being on the show this week. Fun show, and I want to do fun shows more often. It's not getting down in these, caught up in these little insults and these little nasty emails. I'm going to start cutting the emails down to just the good stuff. I guess that is going to do it. Doug, you're going to have to take the show over again, though, at some point in time. I mean, you did a good job. People liked it, and, you know, liked you and Lucky together.
All right.
So we're going to pencil you in somewhere in the future. We won't tie you down to a date or anything. But we got to do it before you get all famous and Scorsese on us and stuff.
Shut the hell up.
We're going to tell everybody that we're going to see him next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Shut up, noob. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the sound of Sweet Beats. Our tales, they'll W-O in the spot. Hells, we're not throwbacks. This is for the ladies. We got room key.
Girl, you wanna come to my hotel? Baby, I will leave you my room key. I'm feeling the way you carry yourself, girl. And I wanna get with you cause you're a cutie. So if you wanna come to my hotel, all you gotta do is holler at me. Cause we're having an after party. Checking out 6 in the morning.
Listen, you been made it to my room shaking cause you nervous. Knocking directly on my door like room service. Who is it? Walking in looking exquisite. It took me a minute to peep her, and just when I finished she let me know she was in town just for a visit. Called my show, wanted to know how much was I lifting. I didn't understand at first. Her favorite position was standing up. Put my hand on her butt, asked can I handle her? What? Please. Who is no type of amateur? Out cold. Turn your body rain to snow like it's Canada. No lights, the cameras, the action's on. She's from South Cackalacka, ass fatter than norm.
Girl, you wanna come to my hotel? Baby, I will leave you my room key. I'm feeling the way you carry yourself, girl. And I'm gonna get with you cause you're a cutie. So if you wanna come to my hotel, all you gotta do is holler at me. Cause we're having an after party. Checking out 6 in the morning. In the morning.
College girls back at the dorm, she going wild. I hold it down when I have to perform. I show you how on the mic or a back to the wall. The golden child going right when I answer the call. You know my style, I'm nasty on the road while other teams are catching hell. Only get live on the weekend like SNL. Nah, I stay booked Monday through Sunday. Keep that shit popping from the stage to the runway. In a race on a one way, straight to the telly. Can't take me to tell me, check an ID, can't catch a Kelly, no. But we can get it on if you really grown. You make that string disappear in the phone.
Girl, you wanna come to my hotel? Baby, I will leave you my room key. I'm feeling the way you carry yourself, girl. And I wanna get with you cause you're a cutie. So if you wanna come to my hotel, all you gotta do is holler at me. Cause we're having an after party. Checking out 6 in the morning. In the morning.
You coming, we both wanna get into something. You wanna be in this room, I want all your lips running. Little thick something amongst the fists pumping. When I spit something, keep them hits coming like our hips touching.
Alright, if you wanna come with me, say, and fulfill your fantasy, baby, in my hotel suite, if it's okay. If you wanna party night till day, I will do anything you say. Just come to my hotel.
Checking out 6 in the morning.